Sometimes a dream seems like more than just a dream. Today, we bring you tales of premonitions. Hi, everyone. This is Christina.
And this is MJ.
And this is another episode of Spooky Tales. Today, we are talking about premonitions. Unless yours turned into something else.
Okay, so I have technically five stories, but two stories are intertwined and one story goes into, well, actually technically more, but it goes into this long synchronicity thing. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know this was so much information. It's a lot.
You'll get amazing. I'm excited.
I was like, you know that meme, the guy when he has all the stuff on the paper and he's all like dotting things together.
Yeah, me. From It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, that was me. That was me.
And for those that don't know what a premonition is, it's a strong feeling that something is about to happen, especially something bad, but it's not always negative. Premonitions can be a feeling, but they can also be like a clairvoyant event, like seeing something in a dream that it's going to happen in the future. And this has been on the topic list for a while now, but we're just now getting to it.
Yeah, just FYI, mine are all, they're not good. The ending is not good.
Yes, yeah. So for this episode, we have, I have two listener stories, but we mainly looked into celebrities that had premonitions about their own deaths. We tried to keep it Latin American focused. However, there's not a lot of Latino artists so that have experiences. So MJ branched out a little bit. Yeah. So yes, let's start with the listener stories first. I have two. And thank you so much for those of you that sent this in super last minute. Like I think 4 days ago, I was like, who has stories about premonition? But the people delivered, and thank you so much. So here's the first one. I have a story about premonitions. My mom... Oh, before I say that, if you have a story that you want to send in, email us at spookytales@gmail.com or send us a DM on Instagram. Either one is fine. Okay, here goes story one. I have a story about premonitions. My mom passed away in 2014, but before she passed, she was in the hospital recovering from a routine procedure. Her room was at the end of a hallway. She liked the nurses to leave her door open so she didn't feel alone. One day I went to visit her and she told me that late at night she had woken up and saw her mom and her dad, both are deceased, at the end of the hallway just looking at her and smiling. I told her she was probably dreaming or on some good meds. Days passed and I spoke to her on the phone and she said that she once again woke up and saw her parents standing in the hallway. She said this time they were closer and standing by the door. She didn't seem scared, so I just told her they were comforting her while she recovered. After about a week, I went to go see her because she was getting ready to be released. It was one of the last nights she'd be there. We were chatting, and she told me that once again she woke up at night and she saw her parents. But this time, they were standing at the foot of her bed. They told her they were there to pick her up. They told her not to worry that they were there. I was a bit freaked out, but thought my mom was just hallucinating because she was on pain meds. The next morning, I got a call that my mom had just passed away. I guess they really did come to pick her up. So sorry for your loss. It's kind of, that's the same. My mom would dream the same thing. When people passed away in the family, she would dream her grandparents and the person together. And then she would get the news that that person had passed away after she would dream them together like that. That was the reason I wanted to do a whole episode on premonitions, because of my mom's predicting the future in her dreams.
My grandma is like that, and it honestly freaks me out so much. Back in 2015, in October of 2015, my mom was in a really bad car accident, and she broke her back. She broke her spine. And we didn't tell my grandma, because my grandma's one of those people that freak out. And my grandma called up my mom the next day. Hey, were you in a car accident? My mom's like, how the hell did you know? We weren't even going to tell you.
Wow, that's wild. Yeah.
And she dreamt it. She dreamt every... I was like, Jesus, grandma, you're freaking me out. But then she always knows. When I was pregnant, she'd be like, oh, are you pregnant? I'm like, I don't think so. A few months later, weeks later, I was like, oh, shit, I am. Grandma was right.
Oh my God, that's my mom right there. Oh, I have one more listener story. So this one goes, I was scheduled for a surgery to remove a tumor, which was scheduled to be in a couple of months. And one night, I had a dream that the doctors rushed into my room and said they had to operate ASAP, right now, and I was fighting them, insisting I wasn't ready, and that it wasn't supposed to be until 2 months from now. But they subdued me and took me into surgery. I wake up and go about my day, and around midday, I get a phone call out of the blue that my sister was having an emergency surgery today to remove her appendix because she was in too much pain, and that day, she had surgery. Another time, I was driving and a sudden feeling of dread took over me, and I just started thinking about my mother. A couple hours later, my sister's called saying that she was taken into the hospital because she fell ill. So that's crazy. He predicted both the appendix surgery and then his mom.
That is creepy. I'd be like, you know what? No, thank you. Because I hate those kind of if I were in that person's shoes, I'd be like, man, I could see all the people I really love going through some shit.
Yeah. And then not fun. If you dream it and then nothing happens, you're like, okay, that was just a bad dream. But then you dream it and then you end up getting a call and you're like, oh my God, it was real. It's such a wild concept to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, hearing it as a skeptic, it's oh, that's wacky. There's no way. It's just a dream. But I already said, my mom has dreams like this. She dreams things and they end up happening. And yeah, maybe some people will be like, oh, that was just a coincidence. But it's happened way too many times for me to not think she has, how do you say that? Clairvoyant?
Clairvoyant. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. When my grandma does that, I'm like, no. Now it's creepy. And, and everything that bad that happens to us, I'm like, I'm just waiting for the call, grandma, because she knows. She knows.
Yeah, every time my mom dreams someone pregnant in her dream, someone ends up being pregnant. Sometimes, it's a person holding a baby, and the person holding the baby ends up being pregnant. My second baby was not planned. He was an accident. I can't remember anything, right? So obviously I couldn't remember to take my birth control pills, so here we are. But she had a dream that I was holding a newborn before I even thought this I was pregnant, before I even knew. I didn't tell her anything. I missed my period, and I found out late because I was also still breastfeeding and my period never got back to mm-hmm. normal, right? And so on top mm-hmm. of that, on top of forgetting my pills and not getting my period, I just I was I think 8 weeks pregnant when I was when was my last period? And then I finally took the test because I was I had been feeling so tired. And I was I thought I had COVID. I took a COVID test and I told my mom and she was I don't think it's COVID. I think it's something else. And I was what are you telling me right now? And she was you should take a test. And I was okay. And then I did, and I told her, and she was like, I knew it. I had a dream. You were holding a newborn. That's why I told you to take the test. And I was what the fuck, mom?
I'd be no, this is, you know what, mom? Wake up from the dreams. You see a baby, just wake up automatically. Just go.
Yeah, and those are happier premonitions, right? She also has dreams where people she knows have died, which I already mentioned earlier. But yeah, she will dream my great grandma. Everyone calls her Mibela, but she had a dream of her dressed in all black, and she kept walking away from my mom. She never was able to catch up with her, and she kept dreaming this for a few days. And then the night before she got, or the night she got the call, something like that, she had a dream where Mibelo, my great grandpa, was waiting for my Mibela at the end of wherever she was running to. And then she saw them walk off together. And then she got a call and she already knew, because of the dream.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just things like that. And yeah, throughout history, you could say there's a lot of stories of premonitions, Napoleon Bonaparte, Abraham Lincoln, Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to be talking about Jenny Rivera, Vicente Fernandez, Who else? Oh, Selena Quintanilla, a Chilean actor, Felipe Camira. I can't say his name. Camiroaga. Yes. Okay. And then Monica Spear. She was Miss Venezuela.
Okay.
Who goes first? Do you want to go first? Do I go first? We each have a lot of stories, so I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
I'll go first.
All right.
So my first one, Jenny Rivera. So if you don't know who La Reina, the Queen, Jenny Rivera is or was, she was born Dolores Janay Rivera Saavedra on July 2nd, 1969, and she died on December 9th, 2012. And I'm sure if you listen to her music, like me, you were also heartbroken. So she was a Mexican-American singer, songwriter, actress, and 100% chingona.
I love that.
Carmen and I saw her. Have I told you?
No. You went to a concert?
No. Back in 2006, There was a giant protest, and I don't know if you remember it, in California and all over the country.
Yeah.
About protesting against HR something. It was like this bill that was like super anti-immigrant. And okay. There was a big, big, big march. And I'm actually, if not to plug my other podcast, but I am going to do an episode on La Gran Marcha for Historias Unknown. Because, like, not a lot of people remember this. But this march was almost as big as, like it said that 1 million people were in L.A. It was huge. If you put it side by side with the MLK protests, like, the picture, like the amount of people that were there is almost the same, but this thing isn't in any history book. Like, it's crazy.
Well, of course. Cherry pick.
Yeah. But we saw her there. She was wearing like the what were they, like track suits that were like velvety looking? It was pink.
Oh, the Juicy Couture one?
Yes. Yeah. And she was she was protesting with us. So yeah. Anyway, sorry for that sidetrack. Where was I? So yes, Jenny Rivera. Jenny Rivera and six other people were on a flight from Monterrey to Toluca, Mexico. And this was on the 9th of, December 9th. I can't remember if I already said the date, but I had. So 15 minutes after the plane departed at 3:20 a.m., contact with the jet was lost. And then later on the 9th, the wreckage was found and no one survived. And during her last concert in Monterrey, before getting on that flight that would later crash, causing her death, fans insist that she knew this was her last concert. Both fans and then Televisa correspondents who were at the concert have said that they'd been to many concerts of hers and they hadn't seen her act this way. So she seemed to be very sad during the concert. And then during her song, Paloma Negra, fans could see her crying and many believe that she was saying goodbye. And this could all be speculation because when singing the song, she had dedicated it to Chiquis. And I don't know if you know the drama that was happening with Chiquis and Jenny Rivera.
Yeah.
It's a whole mess. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously she could have been crying because of that. But many believe she was crying because she was saying goodbye. And it's also a very emotional song. I don't know if you've heard it.
Oh, I haven't.
A lot of people have covered it. It's one of those songs that like a bunch of people have covered.
Oh, I only listen to like metal, so.
Oh my God.
And like The Weeknd and a few other people are like exceptions.
Okay, well, I'm a señora, so I listen to a lot of Mexican music.
I have started
like all of it.
I have started the past 2 years listening to more like banda and stuff. Like I do listen to rock en español. Like anything rock in any language, I'm down. But every other genre, I'm kind of like, I don't know if I like you.
I see. Okay, well, you should look the song up. It is a good song. Many fans also point out that she sang a song called Cuando Muere Una Dama at her very last concert as a sign that she felt that she would die. The song translates into When a Lady Dies. And in it, she sings about how she, when she's buried, she wants the celebration to go on. And of course, she could just be singing the song. But in the same concert, fans theorized that the shape of the stage was another premonition pointing to her death because it was in the shape of a cross. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? Is there something there? Maybe, maybe not. This one, I'm like, I like reading about it, but I don't personally believe it.
I also heard there's like a whole conspiracy because my mom be giving me the cheese. Even if I don't know the artist or I don't listen to them, she'd be like, did you hear? I'm like, leave me the cheese, leave me. I don't know these people, but I like the tea. That que alguien andaba gritando, that someone was in the crowd. I was about to speak in Spanish. Sorry, guys. That someone was yelling te matan from the crowd.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Conspiracy that she had some beef.
They do believe it's drug related.
Yeah.
Or and then, cartel related.
There's like video from the crowd where this guy, I think, is screaming at her. Te matan, te matan. So I don't know if that's true.
And
for our Spanish challenge friends, it means they're going to kill you. I don't know. Conspiracy. And then some people believe she faked her death. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard that one too. So yeah, who knows? Who knows? I do believe she's dead. And I don't think that she had a premonition about it. But I do like reading about it, which is why I'm sharing it. This next one is a little more trippy. So this is Vicente Fernandez. And I'm sure everyone knows who Vicente Fernandez is, but
okay, him I always do listen to, even like, but banda is not like my forte, but Vicente, yes, I'm down.
Yeah. So he was known as el rey de la música ranchera, el ídolo de México, an icon to Mexican music, specifically rancheras. So he was born on February 17th, 1940, and he passed away December 12th, 2021. So on August 6, 2021, he fell in his ranch in Guadalajara, and he was hospitalized afterward. It was a serious fall. He injured his spine and was placed on a ventilator in the ICU. He was then diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. The fall and the Guillain-Barré syndrome were not connected, according to Vicente Fernandez's son. All of his health issues did seem to begin with that fall. After being released from the hospital, he found himself admitted again on November 30th, 2021. He passed away on the 12th of December from complications of his injuries and the pneumonia. Following his death, a TikTok video about him went viral. The TikTok video was an interview with the caption, "In 1979, Vicente Fernandez predicted how he would die. Watch what you say." So in the interview, Vicente Fernandez is saying, and this is translated from English to Spanish, "Earthquakes happen everywhere. I'm going to die when God wills it. If I die in Colombia, oh well. I can also die in Mexico or in any other part of the world, even from a fall. Anyone can die from a fall. I believe in destiny and the final word comes from above." Vicente Fernandez's fall from the 6th of August did indeed lead to his death in December. And so what he said may have been a coincidence, but it ended up being true.
That is freaky.
Right? That one is trippy because he literally was like, oh, I could die from a fall in Mexico. Anyone can die from a fall. And that's like, that's exactly where he died and what he died from.
That is crazy.
That one was weird when I read about it. I was like, let's see. This next one, Selena Quintanilla. I'm sure everyone knows who Selena Quintanilla is. If you don't, get out of here. No.
Yeah. as I would say, you uncultured swine.
Yeah. So a lot of us associate a rose with Selena. It was her favorite flower and, you know, the song Como la Flor. Oh, and for her funeral, her brother asked fans to bring a rose. And according to Suzette, the rose might have had a deeper meaning in Selena's life than we think. So according to People magazine, Selena reportedly dreamt about a rose several times before she was killed. In the dream, Selena allegedly saw a white rose thrown at her, but was never able to catch the rose, nor see who threw it. Every single time, the dream would end with the appearance of a white light. It is said that the dream haunted and scared the singer. In the movie, there's also a scene where the singer is thrown a white rose out of nowhere, but she doesn't catch it. The movie obviously uses this as a metaphor to say her death was near. When speaking to the publication Seattle PI in 2010, Selena's sister said the white rose is something that we, the family, felt was symbolic to Selena. So it kind of became symbolic to her name and all that Selena signifies. Since then, anything that you see, that you would see with Selena's picture is generally depicted with white roses. Many believe the dream was a premonition that Selena had about her own death. Right. But yeah, I agree. I do agree with that one. It is definitely trippy.
Her death always get. Oh my god! Every time I cry, like I cry in the movies, like when I watch her, you know, her death scene. And it doesn't matter if I watch it over and over again, I still bawl my eyes because I think her death was one of the most tragic deaths ever.
So, one of my coworkers from like my last job, she literally said that she cared more about Selena's death than 9/11. And then we were all like, oh, damn. But I was like, well.
I mean, Selena's death really had a huge impact on my childhood.
Yeah.
Because she was my favorite artist. Like, I knew her songs by heart. My mom was like, you used to sing her songs all the time. You used to flip your hair. She's like, you didn't have any hair. It was like short, you know, bob. But you used to pretend you had long hair like her. I was like, oh, thanks, mom.
But yeah, I mean, I grew up listening to her music and dancing to it. And my first bootleg CDs were Selena CDs.
I love that.
So yeah, the next one, I don't know who he is until I did this research. Felipe oh my god, I fucking can't say this last name. Felipe Camiroaga was a famous Chilean TV presenter, actor, and comedian. He was very well known and popular in his country, and he worked for a morning show. So in 2011, Maria de Los Angeles Lasso, a Chilean astrologist, predicted in her book The Chinese Horoscope 2011 that there would be a terrible plane accident that would cause the entire country to go in mourning. On September 2nd, 2011, Felipe Camiroaga was traveling with the morning show that he worked with and a few others when the plane crashed into the sea and disintegrated while trying to land. Before crashing, the plane unsuccessfully tried to land twice before it disappeared. The following day, Chile's defense minister said it was unlikely there was any survivors and everyone on the plane most likely died during impact. Camiroaga was so liked and loved in his country that President Sebastián Piñera announced that on September 5th and 6th, 2011, they would be national days of mourning. So this was an astrologist that predicted his death. Camiroaga's remains were cremated in a private ceremony on September 12th, 2011, and his funeral was broadcasted nationally and attended by 500 people. The hearse that later took the remains were followed by about 5,000 people. And then this last one is Monica Spear. Monica Spear was a former Miss Venezuela and an actress who was considered a rising star before she was brutally killed in 2014. In an interview with People magazine, her friend and fellow actress Rebecca Jones told the magazine that while on the set of their 2014 novela Amor Prohibido, Monica told her, "Yo me voy a morir joven," which translates to, "I'm going to die young." Joan said the statement almost brought her to tears, but she now understands that Spear somehow knew she was not going to live long enough and made the statement for a reason. On January 6, 2014, Spear was vacationing with her ex-husband and their five-year-old child in Venezuela when their car broke down in the highway. While waiting for help, they were killed during an attempted robbery, and their daughter was shot in the leg. Police believe the couple was shot while resisting the robbery.
That is so sad.
Oh, that one is sad. That's crazy that she said that, and for no reason, it seemed.
But also, you guys don't if you're out and about, just don't resist robbery. Like, no material thing is ever worth your life.
Yeah, just give them everything. Like, you want my car? You want my clothes? No. I that sounds like a bad idea, but like, yeah, just take whatever. I'd be like, I don't even have money because I don't.
Same. I'd be like, I'm help me look for stuff that I have.
You want my debit card? I have like $5 cash. I'm sorry, I have no cash. my wing, my ring. I don't even wear my wedding ring. You want the silicone band?
I don't wear mine either.
My phone, it's like 5 years old, but okay. I'm the last person you want to rob. My car, like, okay, it's a 2005 Honda Accord, so.
You're going to have to take it to the mechanic.
Yeah, right? If you steal it, you got to go get it fixed.
It's on you, buddy.
Not you want to strip it for parts? The parts are old.
So I will be covering a few people, but let's first start off with Richie Valens. Full name, Richard Steven Valenzuela, once predicted his own death. And I put our Gen Z listeners, because I don't think they know who Richie Valens is. I don't think he's as popular as he was maybe in the 90s. Because isn't that
I feel like people should know La Bamba. Like, no,
because if you have, like, you know, have you seen those TikToks where it's like, oh, listen to classic music from the 90s and 80s and 70s and, you know, all these other decades.
You're right.
And Gen Z is like, I don't know. And I'm like, how do you not know that song?
Gen Zers, please let us know if you know La Bamba.
Yeah. So he was the artist behind the hit La Bamba and an icon in the Chicano rock movement. So when Richie was 15, he skipped school to attend his grandfather's funeral. While at the funeral, a plane crashed in the schoolyard. So he wasn't there, so he didn't witness this. However,
in the schoolyard, damn.
Yeah, and it was described as being a fiery plane crash. And even though he wasn't there to witness it, he had reoccurring nightmares of a fiery plane crash that he was in. So after this incident happened, even though he wasn't there, he just had nightmares and nightmares of a plane crash. Later, 2 years and 3 days later, almost to the very day that the plane crash happened in the schoolyard, Richie won a coin toss and he won a seat in a small aircraft. Quoted as saying, "The first time I ever won anything in my life." On that plane was also Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper. On February 3rd, 1959, dubbed The Night Music Died, the plane carrying Valens, Buddy Holly, and the Big Bopper headed towards a winter storm. The plane crashed into a frozen ground, killing all three icons.
Damn.
But wait. Weirdly enough, Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper also predicted their death. Buddy Holly and his wife Maria were sleeping next to each other when they both woke up at the same time, having a very similar dream to one another. Both involved a farm, an airplane, and fear. Holly was so shook from the nightmare, he began crying. Weeks later, he died in this plane crash.
Wow.
Yeah, and the Big Bopper once went on KTRM, a radio station, and was doing a marathon, and he tried to be on the air for as long as possible. Called a discathon, the Big Bopper stayed up for a little over 5 days, and during those 5 days with no sleep, the Big Bopper started hallucinating, and he hallucinated his own death. He later said the other side wasn't that bad. And all this gets a little bit crazier when Waylon Jennings, Buddy Holly's bass player, and the Big Bopper were throwing friendly jabs at each other. The Big Bopper told Waylon, "I hope you freeze your ass on that bus." Waylon responded jokingly, "I hope your plane crashes." It feels like this plane crash was cursed from the beginning because all three icons had predicted their own deaths. And though the Big Bopper didn't specify how he died, Buddy Holly and Richie Valens had dreams that their death would be caused by an airplane crash. And, the synchronicity is insane. Even Buddy Holly's wife had a nightmare similar to Richie Valens and Buddy Holly.
This is pretty wild. Like, wow.
I had no idea. I had no idea. And the Waylon Jennings comment, I'm just like, you're connecting the dots, guys. Like, I told you, I went like full conspiracy mode.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the night music died. It's crazy that all three icons that were on that plane, two of them had a premonition or like dreams and stuff that they were going to die in a plane crash. But all three of them together predicted their own deaths to some level. Which is crazy.
That's, yeah. Wow. How?
Yeah, like that's
how
too
can
much
you
of a...
hear this and not believe in premonitions? Like, I don't know.
That one, like, really, like, took me out because I was like, wait, what? Like, one person predicted, fine. But three really famous people at the time, like, that's just insane. So another artist who predicted his own death was Bob Marley, and his prediction was a bit insane. He was considered a prophet to some as what he predicted would come to pass, allegedly. He could predict stuff for other people, but he could only ever predict his own death. He said he would die on May 11th when he was 36 years old. Asked why at this age, he said it was because that was the age Jesus Christ died. And for background, Bob Marley is Rastafari, and it's like a mixture of Christianity and like African roots, and it's its own religion.
Okay, yeah, I don't know much about it.
Yeah, I don't know much about it. I just see a lot of surfer people, you know, the trope, using a lot of the, like, Rasta styles. And I'm like, you guys, it's a religion, not...
I see, yeah.
Not a clothing style, whatever.
Yeah. Not something for you to appropriate.
Yes, but, you know, people... And so the singer did end up dying on May 11th, 1981, of cancer. He was right. He predicted the day.
Wow. And
it's like, it's crazy.
Like, to, like, every...
Yeah, like, every... He's like, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die on this day, in this month, on this year.
Wow.
Which is scary. Wow. Honestly, I don't know how he was just, like, not, like, terrified. I would be.
Yeah, seriously. Wow.
And story number three, I guess. Tupac also predicted his death 2 years prior to his death. He was in a shooting, which he thought was actually an attempt on his life, but it was dismissed as a mugging. Tupac was convinced otherwise. During his hospital stay, he told AJ Benza, a journalist, that he would die young. 2 years later, Tupac was in a car with Suge Knight. A white Cadillac pulled up to the side of the vehicle and shot 13 shots, hitting Tupac in the chest, hand, and pelvic area. On September 13th, 1996. So remember this date, September 13th, 1996.
It was a Friday.
At the age of 25, Tupac died. And Tupac's death is still, like, widely debated. There's so many theories and conspiracies, and honestly,
it was the FBI.
It just... I mean, honestly, yes, because he was into, like, some F the man shit, so probably.
And they did, on their off-duty time, they did bodyguard for, what's the record label? Death Row Records,
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all, like, I don't know, the whole thing is, like, a whole
they
conspiracy.
They had the most access to him, and they knew his schedule, because FBI. No, not the FBI, LAPD, because LAPD the security for them.
It's all sketchy. Like, the whole thing is sketchy. And the fact that they never found evidence, or, like, they couldn't link
up. Because they could get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, let's get back to this and off my conspiracy.
So, it deserves a whole episode on itself. Like, it really
does. It really does.
So, you know, that and the death of Biggie. So, speaking of Biggie... He also predicted his own death. Notorious B.I.G. dropped an album on September 13th, 1994.
Oh, September 13th, okay. 1994. That's why you said, remember
and
the
day.
And
then Tupac died September 13th, 1996. So 2 years later, on the anniversary of the first album, Notorious B.I.G., you know, he dropped it, is the anniversary, like, the day he died. Like, it's just weird.
Wow.
It's my conspiracy theories running. Okay, guys. There's no, like, nothing substantial, but bear with me.
Yeah.
So he dropped a studio album by the name Ready to Die. So, like, the days day is, like, 2 years later. Anyways, I digress. I'm going full blown conspiracy theorist here. And this album cemented his place in hip-hop, but let's be real, he was amazing before that. And if you have not watched the Christopher Wallace documentary, please go and do so. It's amazing. So back to the story. A song titled Suicidal Thoughts has a line in it that many people believe is a prediction of his own death. In this song, he raps, and I am going to do a terrible... I'm not going to rap it. I'm just going to say it. It's going to sound terrible, and I'm sorry.
Oh, you mean you're not going to rap?
I'm not going to rap. I want to leave. I swear to God, I feel like death is fucking calling me. I don't want to live no more. Sometimes I hear death knocking at my front door. See, it was terrible. Even just reading it, I can't do it justice.
Yeah, no flow. No
flow. Nothing. Monotone. I have no bars, you guys.
It's true. So, no, I don't either.
So 6 months later, almost to the day his ex-friend Tupac died, on March 9th, 1997, Biggie was killed in a similar manner. A drive-by shooting in L.A. He died 2 weeks before his sophomore album titled Life After Death dropped. The whole thing is eerie and it has so much synchronicity. The name of Biggie's album, the time Biggie died, the day Tupac died, and even the way, the manner that both Tupac and Biggie died almost like mirrored each other. They were very similar. Yeah. I told you guys, I went full conspiracy mode on this. No regrets. and I couldn't end these predictions without someone from the 27 Club. And for those that don't know, the 27 Club is an urban legend that popular musicians die at the age of 27. And there's a lot of people. I think I did a rough counting and think there's like 63 that people consider being in the 27 Club.
What?
Yes, and this includes Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, but for this one,
what age did Mac Miller die?
Let me see. 26. 1 year shy of 27.
Okay, wow, yeah.
But, so a lot of people are in this. And for this one, I picked Jimi Hendrix. He was one of them. So Jimmy visited Morocco the year before his death. And he had a tarot card reading, and the death card came up. And he was so shook, disturbed, whatever you want to call it. Seeing this card, it affected him deeply, and he turned to his friend and said, I'm going to die before I'm 30. And he did. He suffocated on his own vomit while he was on some recreational drugs, and he died at 27. And what he felt like death was just right there on his door. He was right.
Yeah, wow.
And those are the people I picked. I went full conspiracy mode on two of them.
Yeah. That's okay, because it was so weird and like...
Yeah, like the one that really, like, the Richie Valens one surprised me, because, you always hear on, like, especially if you're into, like, rock music, the night the music died, you always hear that, and it's always like this... That's one of the most famous celebrity plane crashes. Yeah. Because three people, three icons, music icons, died that day. But I didn't know it was, like, that deep.
Yeah, I didn't know that many people, that it was, like, that connected.
And then the Tupac and Biggie, we could go on for hours.
We could, yeah. We could. But let's not. My children are being wild. Do you have any spooky recommendations?
You know what? I watched, rewatched Constantine.
Oh, that's a fun movie.
With, Keanu Reeves. I love that movie. And I was talking to a friend of mine. I was like, you know what I watched the other day? I was like, Constantine. And I was like having a Mandela effect because, spoilers for those of you who haven't seen it. I remember the kid. The Shia LaBeouf's character surviving and then getting trained, the beginning of his training. But then I watched it and he dies. And I was like, that's not how I remember this movie.
This is
like
not what happened.
There's this whole like scene in my head that I don't know if I apparently made up, where it's Shia LaBeouf doing his training. And wow. I was like, where did this image come from? Am I from another dimension? I'm just kidding. But seriously, I did. Having a whole Mandela effect. But I forgot how much I really enjoyed that movie and how good it was.
Nice. Yeah, it's a fun one. I should rewatch it. So my spooky recommend. Well, I don't know that it's a recommendation much as a warning, as much as a warning. So I thought it was a zombie movie when I put it on. It's called The Sadness. It's on Shudder. And I was like, ooh, a new zombie movie. No one warned me. I didn't. It's my fault. I should have looked it up. But it was the most, like, bloodiest, most disturbing thing I've ever fucking seen. Oh, my God. It was rough. Like, trigger warning, there is a lot of rape. There's a lot of just disturbing ass shit. Like, okay, so it's like a zombie movie, but everyone is overtaken by, like, a virus that makes them just go unhinged. Like, they do the craziest shit. Like, it's wild. Oh, my God. So, yeah, it was very disturbing. So if you want something super, super disturbing, then watch that movie. If you don't, then don't. Because it was so disturbing. I watched it, and I was like, oh, my God. How do I move on?
Delete this from my memory?
How can I unsee this? And I've been watching, like, only happy things now. Like, I've been watching Abbott Elementary and Bob's Burgers because I need that out of my mind.
You know what's kind of, like, that was kind of horror? Doctor Strange. It had a few horror elements, and I was like,
I've heard, I still need to watch it, but I've heard that and I want to watch it, but I just have no one to watch my children. But yeah, stay as spooky, and if you have a strange dream, I don't know, maybe pay attention to it. Or don't, ignore it, I don't know, do what you want. Stay spooky, and we'll catch everyone next time. Bye!
Bye.
Thank you so much for our spookies supporting us on Patreon. Melida, Janie, Michelle, Monica, Winston, Modesto, Cynthia, Perla, Yesenia, Kristen, Dalia, Mariela, René, Iris, and Madtown Charity. Spooky Tales is hosted by Christina and MJ, produced and edited by Christina. If you're looking for more ways to support the show, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/spookytales. You'll get access to bonus episodes, exclusive stickers and merch, and special thank yous. You can also buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/spookytales. And you can also buy some merch. Go to spookytales.com/store and you can see new shirts, hats, and I'm always making new designs to add to the store. And the best way to support, of course, is to just listen to the episodes and tell a friend about us. Thanks for listening. Stay as spooky.